sun.
Hey there, I'm TJ Kahn, welcoming you to the March 15th edition of Headlines, a production of the CKUT News Collective. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world, in collaboration with the Dominion Paper, dominionpaper.ca. Broadcasting from Montreal to stations across Canada and the world, we will start you off today with the local news from Montreal.
Sunday marked the 13th annual International Day Against Police Brutality here in Montreal. A packed crowd of at least 1,000 people, including a marching band, met at the Mount Royal Metro station and were surrounded by mounted police and riot police from the get-go. By the end of the three-hour march, 220 people were arrested, the majority being charged with breach of municipal bylaws, including participating in an illegal protest. Arrests were up from last year's march, when less than 50 people were arrested. The Coalition contre la brutalité policière, or the Coalition Against Police Brutality, who organized the march, did not formally request permission from the city for the protest, preferring instead to engage in an act of civil disobedience. Hope was not lost for those arrested in Sunday's demonstrations. In a decision by Quebec Supreme Court last September, 68 people still involved in legal proceedings from the 2002 International Day Against Police Brutality were acquitted of all charges. Media coverage on the march has largely focused on acts of property destruction carried out by protesters. Garbage fires and windows smashed at the Hilton Hotel were especially high profile. And now for the voices of people at the march from CKUT's David Koch, who was at Sunday's protest.
Before protesters began marching through the streets of Montreal on Sunday, activists made speeches to the hundreds or perhaps thousands of people who had gathered outside of Metro Mont-Royal. Here's event organizer Pierre Francou. He says, "We are here today to denounce abuses of power by the police and the impunity that protects agents of the Montreal police." Protester Rosalind Leclerc carried a sign that said, "Who will protect us from the police?
If the police beat us, who's gonna protect us? The only thing we can do is like show it and tell it, like in the media. But after that, what happened?"
At the corner of Sherbrooke and Saint Denis, a barricade of riot police fired projectiles that emitted loud explosions and white smoke, turning away the protesters who were walking down Saint Denis. Some of whom were pelting police with vegetables and other objects.
People are pelting things at them. So loud explosion just went off.
The issue of police brutality has been a hot topic in Montreal since the death of young Freddy Villanueva, who was shot dead by police last August in North Montreal. According to the Montreal Gazette, an analysis by the Collectif last August says that 42 people have died in the hands of police in Montreal since 1987. Of those, 28 were visible minorities. And in 86% of those cases, police were exonerated.
Erwin Kotler, a former Minister of Justice and Attorney General of Canada, now a Member of Parliament for Montreal's Mount Royal District, has taken the Canadian stage to make allegations against the Islamic Republic of Iran, making public a document entitled "The Danger of a Genocidal and Nuclear Iran," a 79-page document claiming that Iran poses a genocidal and existential threat not to Canada but to Israel.
What one finds, and reference was made to this, is the resort to what might be called incendiary and inflammatory epidemiological metaphors.
Several Canadian groups, including Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, the CJPME, have undertaken a comprehensive analysis of Mr. Kotler's document, finding that Mr. Kotler relied on non-literal nor contextual translations of Iranian statements made in Farsi and used unverified and editorialized pieces as sources. The analysis of the statement also showed that the lack of important context for statements made by Iranian leaders distorted the facts to the reader in order to advance Kotler's claims. The CJPME concluded that, quote, "Mr. Kotler is making extremely serious allegations in his petition, which would have serious implications for Iran's 65 million citizens. Responsible Canadians must challenge Mr. Kotler's assertions, both on his methodology and on his ethics, in this single-minded campaign against Iran." Unquote.
And now for national headlines.
In an act of civil disobedience, over 100 people from across Canada have pooled their money to buy a plane ticket for a Canadian man who was listed on the UN's terrorist blacklist. Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak has been stranded in Sudan since 2003, when he was arrested and allegedly tortured by Sudanese authorities. He is now out of jail and living in the Canadian embassy at Khartoum. It is illegal under Canadian federal law to give or loan money to anyone on the UN terrorist blacklist, so Abdulrazak's supporters may face up to 10 years in jail, according to his lawyer, Yavar Hamid. They are demanding that the Canadian government issue him an emergency passport by April 3rd, the day that his flight leaves, so that he can come home. Human rights activist and CKUT producer Sama Elibiar, who contributed $20 for the ticket, said the case of Abdulrazak puts into question the basic freedoms of Canadians.
When I see that the government is intimidating us and saying that we will be penalized if we help Abu Sufyan to return home, I just say no. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to sacrifice my dream of living in a country where rights will prevail. It's a question about human dignity.
Official Canadian documents released under the Privacy Act and the Canada Evidence Act suggest that the Sudanese authorities arrested Abdulrazak under the recommendation of CSIS, Canada's intelligence agency. Hamid described this as, quote, the outsourcing of torture.
Our understanding of that situation, which we were sort of piecing together after the fact, is that CSIS is the one who recommended that he be detained so that could actually facilitate the process of having him a captive. Opportunistically, they capitalized on that to interrogate him. And that, I think, in this context, we would consider that an extraordinary rendition.
A series of events highlighting the need for ecological sustainability took place at McGill University last week as part of Green Week. One of the featured speakers was Professor Louis-Romeo Chauvin, who spoke about rampant consumerism, a problem which he described as an addiction.
When you've got 7 billion people on the planet, if people start to indulge in all of these desires, then it has a very destructive consequences for the environment. And as I was doing my research, I came upon one study in which is an incredible sentence that says, only addicts destroy themselves or their environment for pleasure.
Chauvin urged the audience to look for happiness through voluntary simplicity instead of consumerism before the human race commits an act of, quote, collective suicide.
The government of Alberta is being criticized for failing to publicly disclose environmental violations in the oil sands by Suncor and two of its contractors. CBC Television reports that in February of last year, the companies were charged with over 100 counts of dumping untreated wastewater into the Athabasca River and providing false or misleading information about it to the government. Alberta Environment Minister Rob Renner is quoted as saying, I certainly got the briefing on it myself and was under the assumption all along that this had gone through a process or news release or disclosure or whatever. According to Alberta Environment, the charges against Suncor have been reduced to one charge of exceeding approved limits. R&D McCabe Limited, one of the contractors, has pleaded guilty to 6 charges.
And now for international headlines.
First Nations activists representing Cree, Métis, and Dene Nations traveled to Washington, D.C. earlier this month to protest the effects of U.S. reliance on oil from the Alberta tar sands. Their presentation coincided with Canadian Environment Minister Jim Prentice's diplomatic visit to the U.S. Capitol. The First Nation youth activists hand-delivered a letter to Senator John Kerry, head of the influential Foreign Relations Committee, which related the adverse effects oil sands developments are having on the health, environment, and culture of their indigenous communities. They also urged him to respect the clean energy dialogue between the U.S. and Canada, focusing on renewable, clean energy. Around 50 activists later demonstrated outside Kerry's office while Jim Prentice arrived to meet with the senator. According to Prentice, however, the subject of the oil sands never came up during his discussions with Senator Kerry.
Former President George W. Bush was invited by the Calgary Chamber of Commerce to talk shop at a private luncheon on Tuesday. As many as 1,500 local businessmen and women shelled out $400 a plate to attend the members-only event. While the customary white hat and clammy Mayor Bronconi handshake was likely a part of the welcoming process, several hundred other Calgarians from different political and social factions made it their priority to welcome the president to their city in their own way. Joel Laforet was in the crowd.
All right, well, basically, before the event today, there was a memorial wall set up on Stephen Avenue in Calgary, which is a pedestrian mall sort of thing. And basically, they had a wall of shame and a wall of hope up on each side of the avenue, representing what could have been and what ended up being crushed by the Bush administration. On Saturday, there was a mock trial holding Bush accountable for the war crimes he and his administration potentially committed. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, there was a public forum looking at the issues that came out of the mock trial, and just discussing the invasion of Iraq, the use of torture, treatment of soldiers, that sort of stuff. There were several political groups or factions and organizers involved in this thing. The main sort of organizing force came from this website, peoplevbush.ca, People versus Bush, and they were the ones that were able to bring together basically that organized the schedule of events and that set up the rally and communicated with city authorities and the police as well. In the building across from the Tulsa Convention Center, yeah, you could see cops like up in the glass, like through glass windows, like looking at the crowd and stuff. And there were cops like on the ceilings with binoculars, hopefully not rifles. So, and there was like a heavy police presence, but the cops did a really good job.
Industrial tensions in France have hit their highest levels since the start of the financial crisis. Last Thursday, French Sony workers held CEO Serge Fouché and the head of human resources Ronald Benz in the factory overnight, after the plant announced its closure in April, laying off its 311 workers. The two men were allowed to leave the plant in southwestern France in the morning after local authorities persuaded both sides to pursue negotiations outside of the factory. According to Reuters, Patrick Achagé, member of the CGT Workers' Union, said, "We hope that this time our voices will be heard." Similarly, last week in Clairvoy, near Paris, workers pelted the director of Continental Tires with eggs and burned tires in protesting the loss of their 1,120 jobs. According to Business Week, other companies including drug maker Pfizer, oil company Total, and the travel services group Carlson Wagonlit announced hundreds more layoffs at their French operations. More than 454,000 workers are expected to lose their jobs in France this year.
Thank you for listening. Those are this week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at cketnews.wordpress.com. And you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to our friends at the Dominion and our contributors, Annabelle Koo, Juniper Belshaw, David Koch, Brody McRae, and all the people at the CKUT News Collective. I'm TJ Kahn. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041 extension 6788. Thanks again for listening.